Welcome to the New Yankee Word Shop, an English and Portuguese celebration of words. That's Luis.
And that's Monica.
I'm so excited to see you.
I know. It's been, what, 3 weeks that we don't see each other?
It might have only been two, but it felt like longer.
Yeah. I have to apologize because we had to go on hiatus for a few weeks because so many things are happening, but we're back and I'm really excited to be here and to lose at Boulder Dash.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. I should update you on what happened in the last episode.
Oh.
So Ken came and talked to us. Ken is my brother. And we talked about fall, early fall and stuff, like things that happen in late August and early September. And we played Balderdash that his friends wrote for me. And I lost all three. So you should be glad that I don't get them right either.
Okay, so it's nothing personal then.
No, it's just the person having to answer it doesn't have such a great track record. And at least two of them were things I should have known.
Ken is the best. I'm sure you guys had a blast.
Oh my God, it was so much fun. So there's a lot of things we could jam into this episode. We wanted to talk about fall. We also remembered that we've never told you guys how we met in the first place, which is maybe a good place to start.
Sure. Okay. So would you like to start?
Why were you in the U.S. at all, Luis?
Okay. So when I was 17, I was really excited about going to an English-speaking country, namely the United States. And because I wanted to practice English. By that time, I could speak reasonably well, but not enough to express myself completely in every possible situation, but enough so that I could, communicate. But anyway, so I talked to my parents and they started to look up some programs that I could join. And there was this one called PAX and Program of Academic Exchange. And so I left Brazil in 2002 around, I don't remember the day because it was 18 years ago, but I know it was in August, towards the end of August. Yeah. So I arrived in Orange and I fell in love with the place and I'm in love with New England until today. It's my favorite region of the United States. I have been to others. I have been to the South. I have been to the Southwest. I have been to California, Nevada. I've traveled around, but
and New York City.
New York City a couple of times. Yes, it's an amazing city, obviously. Mm-hmm. But if I had to choose a place or area in the United States to live, it would have to be New England, definitely, and of course because my BFF lives there, so.
Well, also, I think you and I have a similar love affair with New England in that we're just obsessed with it.
Of course.
And don't want to live anywhere else.
Nope. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. So you said you really loved Orange as soon as you saw it. What about it appealed to you?
Well, first of all, it felt like I was living in a movie. The first few days, of course, and then reality sinks in or sets in. Yeah. So that was the case. I mean, I arrived and the houses, the weather was pretty much similar to what I was used to in Brazil because I arrived. It was August. Is it still summer? It is, right?
Yeah. It stays pretty hot and humid until at least mid-September.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was shocking because since it was the end of summer, we still had daylight until around, maybe I'm exaggerating, but I'm thinking 9 p.m. So
in August, it was probably back towards 7 or 7:30.
Okay. Something like that. Yeah. But I noticed that it was very different from Brazil because we're closer to the tropics. Mm-hmm. It's usually every 12 hours, it's like clockwork. So you get, you have sunset around 6 p.m. and you have sunrise at around 6 a.m. I mean, it goes, give or take 1 hour, but that's it. So it was very strange for me to see that, but strange in a good way. So the first few days I was adjusting, but I still fell in love. I fell in love with everything. And it was funny because even though when I arrived, people kept telling me, oh, your English is very good. I thought it was not as good as I imagined. Not as good as I had imagined before arriving. Because even though I was able to understand virtually everything that was said to me, It was still very difficult to say everything I wanted to say. And even until today, it's been 18 years, I deal with English every day. Not the first few days, but the first few hours in the United States or in any English-speaking country, it takes some adjustments, you know, it takes some effort to be able to say whatever I want to say without second guessing my choices. But anyway.
Well, it's your second language, so that would make sense.
Exactly. Yeah. But
yeah. Although you said you are able now to think in English as well.
Oh, of course. But it was Monica and I were talking about it a few weeks ago or a few days ago. And I was telling her that English for me, it's more like a well-developed tool that I have. Mm-hmm. That I can use without even giving it a second thought. But, and I mean no offense, obviously, it is not part of my soul or part of my true identity. I don't know if that makes sense to you guys. Maybe to those of you who have a second language. Because the thing is, I think that even though my mind can perfectly function in English, I don't think I can express my feelings as directly as and eloquently as I would in Portuguese. I don't know, because I have spent my whole life in Brazil except for the year that I lived in the United States. So
yeah, I guess it would be kind of like trying to draw with your non-dominant hand.
That's good. Yeah, that's very specific but very true.
No, but that makes perfect sense because it's, you know, what you grew up with.
Uh-huh.
It's how your brain made all those connections to reality. So,
I would like to point out that I can't draw. So if I were to draw with my right hand or left hand, I don't think that would be much of a difference anyway.
Okay. It would be like me trying to draw.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Now I get it. Anywho. So would you like to tell them how we met?
So I am not clear on exactly what moment in the day at the start of school it could have been. So there's two options that I'm going to guess. The first one is that I think when we were all like going to our first classes in the morning, We noticed some exchange students together because they were kids we hadn't seen before. And we had all been seeing each other every day since at least like seventh grade. And most of us who were from the same town had been seeing each other every day since kindergarten. Wow. So it's very easy to notice a new person. And also I remember Lilia had on a really cool like pleather plexi, I don't know what you call it. It was almost like a Britney Spears type thing, but less revealing. And so we were all like, whoa, where did she get that? That's kind of weird and kind of cool.
By the way, Lilia is from Turkmenistan. She lives in the United States, as far as I know now, but she is from Turkmenistan.
Do you know where in the US?
Well, last time I heard of her, not from her, because it's been maybe 12 years that we don't talk. But last time I heard of her, she was living maybe in the Midwest, I want to say, but I'm not 100% sure.
That's interesting. I think if you told me that, I had forgotten because I forget most things.
But her mom married an American man and they moved there. And that's the extent of my knowledge.
Well, you knew more than I did. So kudos to that.
Yeah, well, thanks. Here, Toss.
Yeah, but I think probably the first time we actually spoke to each other was I think we both had some sort of weird sociology, psychology class with Mr. Curtis. Was that first semester or no?
Was she in that class as well?
No, you and me.
Oh yeah, we were. Yeah, we were. Probably could have been the only class that we took together.
It might have been, yeah.
Yeah. Because
you were put into the year behind me, I think.
I don't know why. I mean, it makes no sense to me because we were the same age. We are basically the same age. Uh-huh. But there was something, at least that's what I was told when I arrived in Massachusetts. They said mm-hmm. something about how foreign exchange students were not allowed to be in the 12th grade, which is fine. I could easily accept that. Had it not been for the fact that Cesar, the guy from Colombia, was in 12th grade. So why,
What? That makes no sense.
I know, right?
Had he already graduated high school? Is that why?
Maybe. That was something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah.
Weird.
In Brazil.
Two and two together there.
Yeah. In Brazil, even though we also studied 12 years, high school lasts 3 years. We have only 3 grades, 3 years of high school, but it doesn't mean that we study fewer years than you guys. It's just the way that they group the years. But anyway, so I was in my third year of high school, meaning I was a senior in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And then I left. I mean, I knew I was going to travel to the United States by the beginning of the year. So that's actually interesting because while all my friends were losing their minds about entrance exams, college entrance exams, I was like, this is not for me, guys. This is not for me. So I'm moving away. So
out.
Exactly. But at the same time, I obviously still had to go to class. So it was a semester that I have very few memories of because I took a lot of naps in class.
The semester before you left or when you came to the US?
No, the semester before I left Brazil. Yeah. So I remember sleeping through most of the classes because it was like, well, who cares? You know?
Yeah.
And, but I was, when I got to the United States, I was very interested in many different things. I took drama lessons because I've always loved acting. So I took drama lessons. I got involved in so many things. But I really
did a lot of clubs and stuff, which was cool.
Yeah, it was good. It was I was excited to be a part of all that.
And I remember sort of early discussions with you before and after class in that class mm-hmm. we had together. Yeah. And I remember thinking like, wow, like for a teenage kid, he is so much more eloquent and interesting to talk to and curious and engaged in what's happening.
So
like even if you had to pause to think for a word or ask for a word, you mm. were technically better at using English than a lot of them.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. Well, one thing that I remember about you is that you were always, always super friendly and you used to smile a lot. Whenever you saw me, you would smile and that was great. But there is a funny story that happened. I'm sure I've told you this before. But my host parents, they lived in front of Walmart. So I could, like, from my bedroom window, I could see Walmart. And once I timed it, I think it took, like, 3 minutes or even less from my bedroom to enter Walmart. So it was that close. It was super close. For some reason, I had just eaten. It's silly. It's a silly story, but it actually happened. I had just eaten Oreos, and I had to run to the supermarket to buy something because I don't remember. I had to be back home to do something else. And then I said, okay, I'm not going to have time to brush my teeth and I'm not even going to check if I have something in my teeth. I'm just going to go there, buy what I have to buy, hope not to smile and come back home. But then when I arrived, I saw you. But as I said, you were always super nice and you were always smiling. So I said, oh my goodness, how can I smile at her without, if I have something in my teeth? So I saw you and I think I was doing that Japanese girl kind of thing where you kind of cover your mouth to smile. And but it was cool. It was just a story that I never forgot.
Yeah, I don't think I ever knew that one. That's funny.
I don't remember when we went from being friendly acquaintances to friends, mm-hmm. but it happened, and we had a lot of fun together.
I'm guessing I probably was like, I like this kid. Hey, Luis, do you want to walk to your house and then I'll walk home? Do you want to walk to my house and then you'll walk home? Like, exactly. We lived close enough to school that we could walk home. It took a while, but yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, now we're walking to the lake. And you were like, okay.
Because I've always been a huge fan of taking long walks. And when I say long walks, I mean really long walks, like 9 miles, 10 miles sometimes. It's crazy. It's crazy how much I can walk without getting really tired. Yeah.
Often I'm reminded of how much you have in common with my grandfather, who also loved to walk around town for hours at a time and say hi to people.
I still do that. I mean, when I was in Orange, one of my favorite things was to, if I were walking down the street, I would say, good morning, good afternoon, how are you? And then I would say that like 70% of the people would smile back and say, good morning, good afternoon, whatever. But 30% of them would just ignore me and find me a bit weird. But it's fine. I'm so.
I think that's a New Englander thing. Like, people often, they might acknowledge each other with a wave, but they don't usually talk to each other unless they know each other.
Yeah.
I do a similar thing with my neighbors where, even though we've lived next to them for like 6 years now, I don't really have long conversations with them. And now it's possibly because we don't want to get within 20 feet of each other because of the pandemic.
That makes perfect sense.
But the other part of it is I'm incredibly awkward and I'm like socialized not to bother my neighbors. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, they're doing something in their yard. They might have something else to go to. And maybe that's just me being sort of shy, but I always like don't want to inconvenience other people. And it ends up being, I don't talk to them as much, which may come off as standoffish.
Well, you've never seemed that way to me, so I should ask.
Because you were always so open and encouraging with, yes, let us converse, that, you know.
Well, there is something interesting, an expression that we have in Portuguese. When you are extremely nice, when you are too nice to people, you run the risk of saying good morning to horses. So that's... meaning you're going to say good morning or saying hi to someone who is not going to say hi to you back. So they say you're dando bom dia cavalos. You're saying good morning to horses.
So, oh, I love that. That's cute.
Yeah. And
not for the intended phrase.
Exactly. But you know what? I think I learned, because I am obviously Brazilian, but at the same time, We've mentioned this before. I feel that after my year in the United States, I've become too American to be Brazilian and too Brazilian to be American. So that's one thing that I learned from you guys. I've learned to be extremely polite, but I don't necessarily want to have long conversations with people. So
yeah, that's funny, because of the people I know, you're one of the friendliest, chattiest people I know. Know you've adopted that New England trait in Juiz de Fora is hilarious.
I mean, because, for example, I'm in line at the bank, and I'm waiting at a restaurant or something. I'm not going to start talking to people I don't know. I will, though, smile at them and say hello to them if they look at me. But, for example, when I go to the gym, I don't like to chit-chat at the gym. I am there to work out and leave as quickly as possible, because I'm not a huge fan of the gym. So it's actually funny, because most of the time I'm wearing my earphones. And if people come to me and they smile at me, I will smile at them. But if they start talking, I'll just gesture in a way that they'll know I'm listening to music and I can't actually talk to them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's something I learned from you guys.
You know what, though, I just thought of? It could also be that you have conversations for your job.
That is true.
So sometimes you're talked out.
Yeah. I would almost even say most of the time, because I am paid. I like to joke and tell my students that I am paid to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And I need to keep the conversation going. So I need to find interesting and new questions to ask you. So when I'm off the clock to do the same with strangers, it's not something I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. So maybe if you had a different job, you wouldn't feel quite the same way.
Probably. Yeah. An office job. But I don't know if I would be as happy as I am.
No, I don't think you would be.
Did I tell you, have I ever told you that I was fired from one of my first jobs? It was an office job because I was too chatty and I was disrupting the office by being too chatty.
I don't think I heard that story. That's really funny.
It was.
But it makes perfect sense.
Because it was a job. It was an office that they worked with exports and imports. So we had a lot of forms to fill, a lot of red tape to work through. Uh-huh. So of course that requires your undivided attention. And then my then boss, she sat me down and she said, "I'm sorry, I'm going to have to let you go. You are super nice. Actually, that's one of the reasons why we're firing you, because a person would be sitting down really focused and then you would start talking about last night's news. And then it's too much for us. We can't focus with you around." And I was like, I don't know if I should be flattered or just offended, but sure.
I think flattered and knowing that you need to look for a different kind of job.
Sure. And that's what happened right after that.
So that's good.
Yeah. But going back to being friendly, I know it might not like it, but I'm not a huge fan of meeting new people. I mean, for example, you invite me over, and you say, "Oh, I'm going to have some friends over as well." I will probably think twice before going, because again, I will have to make conversation. And then I know the kind of questions people are going to ask me. I know the kind of anecdotes they're going to tell me. And I know it sounds cynical to say it, but it's kind of true. Like, "Oh, you're an English teacher. Wow, it's been so many years that I don't study English. Why is it so hard? What should I do to improve my English?" And I'm like, "Oh."
Okay. Yeah. I can't remember where I heard this, but someone on a podcast somewhere else suggested asking people about pets and animals. And that's a way to like spin them into other aspects of their life that aren't work.
No, that's nice.
Yeah, well, but going back to you, okay. Maybe you're just not a small talk person.
that sounds accurate. But what about you, Monica? What are the questions, the typical questions that people ask you that kind of bother you?
I guess I am also anxious when I meet new people. Americans tend to only ask each other about work, which can be sort of annoying to discuss if you, like me, work part-time or aren't always, like when I worked at the glasses shop, it wasn't a job I was excited about. I actually kind of hated it. So talking about work was boring. I didn't want to think about work because I didn't like it. And it wasn't going to impress the other person. So... yeah, I think a lot of times the currency Americans deal in with people they don't know, it's like a status contest.
Sure.
To figure out how we all relate to each other. We ask about each other's jobs, which is like kind of effed up, but mm-hmm. it's what we do.
Yeah, to figure out who's ahead.
Yeah, and then once you get like to a place where you're actually comfortable with other people, you can have more interesting conversations, but the surface deciding status conversations are usually about jobs.
Okay.
Now, keep in mind, the way my brain works, it freezes up when I meet new people and I am not able to come up with those things. So I should take my own advice and make a list I can look at and memorize, because I end up asking people what their job is because I can't think of anything else.
Well, so, you know, the next dinner party that I attend, I'm going to take a list with me. And when I look at the person before they say hello, I'm going to hand the list to them and say, "Here's a pre-approved list of questions you can ask me."
I have a feeling they're going to turn around and walk away.
Well, that works as well.
Why do you go out, Luis?
I'm just kidding. Of course, I'm just kidding.
So in terms of what to discuss next, you have two options. You brought up an interesting point about being too American to be Brazilian and too Brazilian to be American.
Uh-huh.
Would you like to take a quiz about how Brazilian are you?
Of course.
And your other option is to dive into discussing fall in New England.
Well, both great topics, but I do have something, a funny story to share. My husband and I, we went to Argentina. It was a long time ago. It was 9 years ago. And then we got into a taxi and I was really excited to practice my Spanish. Once again, in Brazil, we do not speak Spanish. We speak Portuguese. Yes,
which
they are
the superior language, my own opinion.
Of course. But anyway, it is a different language. We can, the languages are what we call mutually intelligible, meaning that if a Spanish speaker speaks slowly, he or she can usually be understood by a Portuguese speaker. The opposite is true, but not as true. And there is a linguistic explanation to that, but I'm not going to get into that. But there is a reason why it's easier for a Brazilian to understand a Spanish speaker than vice versa. But anyway.
If you're not going to tell us today, could you tell us next time?
Of course, that would be.
Okay, cool. Because that does sound interesting.
Of course,
they're closely enough related.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. But French and Portuguese, even though they are both Romance languages, they are not mutually intelligible. It is, if you read a text, then you might be able to pick up on a lot of words. But anyway, I digress. We were in Argentina. We entered a taxi. I started talking to the taxi driver because I was dying to practice my Spanish. Mm-hmm. And it was super nice. And then he said, oh, you're from Brazil. That's nice. Where are you from? Oh. And then we were talking. And then he said, because he was thinking about the stereotypes. And then he said, oh, do you like carnival? And I said, no. Do you like soccer? No. And it was funny because he said something like, oh, but you must go crazy with the beautiful women in Brazil. And I said, sure, my friends are amazing. So, why do I care, you know?
And everything you came up with was like, you are not interested at all.
No. And then he finally gave up and he said, are you sure you're Brazilian? I said, yep, last time I checked. So.
Wow, that is like the perfect anecdote to explain you.
Exactly. So anyway, so you were asking me about, okay, so you wanted to ask me some questions.
Yeah, do you want to take the quiz and see how Brazilian you are?
Of course, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Do I ever?
Do you ever? All right, Luis, how Brazilian are you?
Okay.
I'm going to mispronounce some of these words. Oh, so this one does not happen automatically. I'm going to have to like add and subtract. This could blow up in our faces, but let's try. Okay, true or false? You eat all the parts of the traditional feijoada?
Feijoada.
Feijoada. Oh, okay.
Feijoada, yeah.
Portuguese is always like so much more beautiful than I think it's going to be. Feijoada is such a cool word. Okay. You eat all the parts of traditional feijoada, including the chunks of skin, ear, and foot. Sorry, I did not mean to pepper that.
But it's fine. It's fine. are you done?
Is that true or false, Luis?
No, absolutely false for me, especially now that I'm transitioning into vegetarianism.
Okay.
But can I explain to people what a feijoada is?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, a feijoada is a black bean stew that is basically a staple in Brazil. It's made with all the imaginable parts of a pig that you can imagine. So it's made obviously with pork. So they add the ears, the snout, the skin, and the sausage. They add anything with pork. Anything pork goes in the feijoada. So we usually eat it. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, is that usually the black beans they'll give you if they give you rice and fish? Or is that something else?
It is. It would be plain. The ones that you ate when you came to Brazil, the ones that you, the beans that you ate in Brazil, they were just black beans. For example, if I were to make them in my house, I would never use the snout and all of that. Especially nowadays with vegetarianism, I would just add just water and the seasoning and then garlic and onion, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So yeah, it's false. I would never eat the whole feijoada.
Okay. True or false? Sure. The idea of eating chicken hearts grosses you out.
False. I love chicken hearts.
You do?
I mean, I need to say goodbye to them since I'm becoming a vegetarian, but I love them. But it does gross a lot of people out.
I mean, it's all what you grew up eating, honestly.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. But it is a delicacy in Brazil, chicken hearts. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True or false, lunch is the biggest meal of your day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And more often than not, at night or in the evening, I just have a snack exactly like the one I had in the afternoon.
Alrighty. True or false, you like your coffee Starbucks style? I think that means with stuff in it.
Oh, okay. No, so definitely false. First of all, because I'm not big on coffee. I drink something we call café com leite, coffee and milk, coffee with milk, which would be, I think, similar to a latte, but definitely not a coffee guy.
Yeah, and you're not putting flavors or lots of sugar or whipped cream or anything.
No, I just use sweetener.
Okay. True or false, you put farinha on everything.
That's a very nice test. Okay. No, I don't, but I know many people who do. Because it's farinha. Yeah, farinha would be flour and especially cassava flour, which is something we use to make another staple in Brazil called farofa.
Okay, I was going to ask if that was similar or different.
Yeah, no, it's
farofa. Yeah.
Farinha is just the flour itself, usually cooked and fried. But farofa, you would add other things like eggs and bacon and amazing. I love making farofa. I guess it's going to be harder than I thought becoming a vegetarian, by the way.
So. Yeah, I'm reminding you of all the things that have meat or animal products in them.
Sure. But anyway.
All right. The next section is on language.
Mm-hmm.
True or false, your last name is only one word. For you, that is not true.
Oh, no, definitely not. And very often, when I go to the United States, people look at my passport and they say, wow, that's a long name. Because I have two first names and two last names. And also between them, between the last names, I have a D as in of the, so D-E. So,
yeah.
It's a long name. It is a long name, especially because my second first name is a long one anyway. So no, I definitely, my last name is not one word.
I think the second one I can answer for you too. Yeah. It says, true or false, you say I and not ow when you get hurt. I think you do say I.
I say it a lot.
Just when like something surprises you or like catches your hand or something, it's just your automatic reaction.
Exactly. It's my go-to interjection.
Yep. Okay. True or false, you've used PSUI to get someone's attention?
Could you spell that?
PSIU?
Ah, PSUI. PSUI. PSUI.
Have you?
Yeah. I think it's a bit impolite, but I do it. I do it.
Okay.
I do it if I am talking to a friend and I want to call his attention, especially in writing nowadays, I just write PSUI. But it's just like, I would never do that to a person I don't know, but I tend to be too formal anyway. Mm-hmm. Even my brother, he jokes, he says that sometimes he says, you don't need to be so formal with me. I'm your brother. But
I think it's because you're caring and polite though. Like you want to make people feel important and comfortable.
Aww.
I think that's why.
Yeah, that's very sweet of you. But yes, psiu is something that we use in Brazil to call someone's attention. I don't necessarily use it, but it exists. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. This one cannot be true for you. Your Portuguese has corrupted your English to the point where you sometimes sound like a non-native speaker. I don't think that happens.
So, okay, let's go over it again. My Portuguese has corrupted my English so much so that I don't sound like a native speaker. Well, I am not.
This is aimed at Americans.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Yeah, so, well. Not true. Yeah, and first of all, I'm not a native speaker. I am a native speaker of Portuguese, but yeah. I am very mindful of my English when I'm speaking. So I don't think my Portuguese affects my English as much. Yeah.
So we're just not going to count that one for you because it doesn't actually make sense.
It doesn't apply to me.
Yeah. Okay. True or false, you sometimes end your sentences with view, V-I-U.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce that?
View. It's pronounced view. It's pronounced similarly to the way you guys would pronounce V-I-E-W.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So view. View. Yeah, I do. Sometimes I do, and that's nice. View would mean view is the past of the verb vir, which is the verb to see. So while you guys would say something like, I was talking to him, you see, we would say view, which is instead of saying you see, we would say something, did you see or you saw? It's something like that. It's the same spirit. And I do say it.
I think we have an equivalent where some people have the language tick, where they say, you know, after a lot of mm-hmm. their sentences.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be similar to that. But what we use a lot, and I, as an adult, who's a teacher, I try to avoid using, and people use a lot, is the word tipo. Tipo translates directly as type, but it's very similar to what you guys would say, like, he was like kind of tired and he was like, oh, I'm not gonna do it. And he was like, it's similar. So I avoid saying it because it sounds, what is the word I'm looking for? It sounds juvenile, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. This is a weird question.
Mm. The last one or the previous one? The next one.
This is also aimed at Americans rather than Brazilians.
Sure. Okay.
Because I think it's about making a mistake in Portuguese.
Oh.
So it's not going to apply to you. But you accidentally order poop water instead of coconut water.
Yeah, because let me explain to people why that's funny. Because the word coconut in Portuguese is written C-O-C-O. Uh-huh. You pronounce it coco. The stress, you should stress the first C-O, not the second C-O. So it's coco. However, the word poop in Portuguese is pronounced coco, and it's written C-O-C-O the same way. But the emphasis, the stress, is the last syllable. So you should say coco. So if you ask for coco and you say coco, you're asking for poop and not coconut.
That is a very subtle difference and kind of hilarious.
It is.
Yeah. All right. Now we are on to the section called health and personal care.
No.
You shower at least twice a day, true or false?
Well, I don't shower twice a day, but my husband definitely does. I feel like he takes 7 showers a day, because it feels like every time I talk to him, he says, oh, I'm just going to hop in the shower and then, but I don't. But yeah, at least once a day. But sometimes if it's too hot, yes, 2 showers a day. But I am obsessed with
spa. Probably referring to the fact that you guys have hot weather a lot of the year.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I don't know if it's going to come up in one of the next questions, but I am obsessed with smelling good. I need to smell good all the time. So I wear cologne, I brush my teeth several times a day, and I wear deodorant. Every time I leave, and I'm not kidding, every time I leave the house, I apply deodorant again.
Yeah, that is literally the next question. It says, you only leave the house Arumara put together and Chariosa smelling good.
Okay, Arumada is, what is the translation that they give you?
It says put together. I think together. It dressed nicely.
Yeah, right. That's it. Yeah. Arrumado and cheirosa, smelling good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely what I do.
We were just talking about that yesterday when you were saying you always wear a cologne or something.
Exactly. No, I am obsessed with that. And Brazilians tend to be obsessed with that, smelling good. It depends. I mean, people from my region in Minas Gerais, they are famous for overdressing. Like they're going to the supermarket and they put on their best clothes. In cities, in coastal cities, in Rio, for example, it's people tend to be a bit more laid back. So they would go to the supermarket or a restaurant wearing flip-flops and Bermuda shorts, a tank top, but I avoid that. If I'm going to the mall to have dinner, I mean, not dinner, but to have lunch, I am definitely going to put jeans on and wear a nice shirt, because that's the way I was raised.
Yeah. I think that I recognize that in what you just said, because around Rio, where we were in Copacabana, people would walk around with like a bikini top and a skirt, like that was normal. And then in Juiz de Fora, when we were walking around, especially in that plaza where all the shops are,
sure,
everybody looked like they were going to a business meeting. Like there were a lot of men in suits, a lot of ladies like in formal office wear. Like it was like, oh, what is going on here? Are you all lawyers?
Yeah. So it is part of our culture to do.
Yeah. And I actually have that photo I took that has the guy in the suit in the foreground. I'll have to share that one. It's like the perfect example.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay, anyway. True or false? You feel uncomfortable in a bikini or sunga?
Uh-huh. Sunga is a speedo, a type of speedo, swim trunks.
Do you feel uncomfortable in a speedo?
No. No, and that's a nice thing about Brazil. We don't care. I mean, of course, it's a country where a lot of people have great bodies and we really work out and we work hard. But it's not something I mean, it's even if you are overweight and you go to the beach or a pool, it's so ingrained in our culture, the fact that you are expected to wear a sunga or a bikini, that we actually don't mind. I mean, of course, we're going to be thinking about, I don't know, we assume that only people with attractive bodies would wear a sunga or a bikini, but it's fine if you don't have that kind of body and you're just there to sunbathe and swim. People are not going to.
Yeah, I think I really appreciated that being on the beaches in Brazil, is everybody's very chill. Nobody seems anxious.
Yeah.
That's like, we're all going to wear our bikini tops and sarongs and we do not care.
Yep. No, it's just something.
Nice. It's very different from America, where like the only people expected, like if you're wearing a bikini and you don't have abs, I feel like the default feeling is to feel uncomfortable.
Sure. No, that's definitely not the case in Brazil. I'm not saying that nobody is going to judge you, but I would say that 95% of the people are simply not going to care.
Yeah.
But I feel like
on the way Americans approach it is it's wrong and terrible. I'm not saying I think that you should have abs. I'm saying I absolutely do not think you should have abs.
But one thing needs to be mentioned. Mm-hmm. In Brazil, even though we're very laid back in terms of beach attire, you mm-hmm. are not expected, not even expected. You are, you can't legally go topless if you're a woman. So it's against the law to sunbathe topless.
True or false, you have a small scar on your upper arm from a childhood vaccination.
Yes, I do.
He's showing me.
Yeah, here, I actually have two. You won't be able to see it, though. In person, you would. But, mm-hmm. yeah, we have a BCG. It's a vaccine.
It's yeah, my mom has one from a polio vaccine.
It might be that one. Let me see. BCG vaccine, the Bacillus Calmette-Guerin vaccine, is a vaccine primarily used against tuberculosis. So I thought it was okay. Against polio. Cool.
Yeah, we get lots of vaccinations before like age 6.
Uh-huh.
I don't think any of mine scarred though. I don't know why they would or wouldn't, which yeah. is odd.
So yes, I do have a scar from okay. the BCG.
True or false, you wear your Havaianas anywhere. Yeah, I can't say it. Havaianas.
No, you're not going to pronounce it like an R. You're going to pronounce it like a silent H. Havaianas.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Havaianas. Much better.
Havaianas everywhere?
No, only at home. Only at home, because I think it's I do have them, because they're basically a synonym of flip flops in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
But I wear them at home. Mine are blue and white.
I remember, like we even went to an Havaianas store that first time I came.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like the official footwear of like vacation or something.
Well, I actually mailed you and your husband, a pair of Havaianas each a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I need to do that again.
I love that the shop, you could put like charms in it. Like you can put charms in Crocs here.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was funny to go into like a little shop and it was like a rainbow of flip-flops all the way around with like every possible pattern. Uh-huh. And they were like, they're nicely done. Like they don't look cheap, which is like very nice, I think.
When I was a kid, I wasn't learning English. It was a subject I had at school, but it was not mm-hmm. something that I was really participating a lot. But anyway, I remember that for some reason I used to think that flip-flops were called schlip-schlaps. I don't know. And I was so confident that they were called schlip-schlaps. I don't even know where I got that sound from. So
I think your version, your childhood version, is more accurate than the word flip-flop, which technically they'd both be onomatopoeia anyway.
Exactly, yeah. That's what, because I think that I remember the teacher saying that it was an onomatopoeia, mm-hmm. but I just thought, okay, maybe I forgot the actual word, and I said, okay, what sounds do they make? Maybe schlip-schlap, so that's what they that's what they should be called.
For any of your students listening, do you want to explain what onomatopoeia is?
Well, the word is almost the same in Portuguese. So it just it's a word that represents a sound. So in Portuguese, we would pronounce it onomatopoeia. You see, it's the same.
The same. Yeah. Okay. Oh, this reminds me of you. True or false? You start complaining about the cold when the temperature dips below 70 degrees Fahrenheit.
Definitely. I never instantly know when you guys say the temperature, but let me see, 7 Fahrenheit to Celsius. That would be, 21 degrees, yeah. So, for me to say it's cool and to get my coats out of the closet, it would have to be around 15, 14 Celsius, which would be what? Let me see for you guys. It would be 57 for you guys. 57 for me would be kind of chilly. Yeah.
You're made of tougher stuff.
Yeah. But I do remember temperatures reaching around 32 when I was a kid, but just specific days, you know. It was, I remember that we were in school. I was very young. I must have been like 8, I think. And the temperature was very close to one Celsius, which is like 33 Fahrenheit. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't have class that day. We just stayed indoors. We sat in a circle, and it was cool. Because the buildings in Brazil, they tend not to have heating. Mm-hmm. Not because we don't have the technology, but simply because it's not necessary, you know, 99%
most of the year. Yeah.
So why would you spend money on that?
Yeah. And they probably kept you guys in from recess because there's not really a reason for you guys to own heavy coats.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you might have a light jacket.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we do, my husband and I, we do have gloves, we do have hats, winter hats, because we travel relatively often. But the average Brazilian does not. I mean, where I live, because if you go to the southern states of Brazil, you will even get snow from time to time.
That's super cool. Brazil is so huge.
It is. It's a continent.
The keep the kids in at 32 degrees. Probably sounds really funny to my husband, Mike, because he grew up in Winnipeg. And I'll have to double check and circle back and answer this question. But I think they didn't keep the kids in until it was negative 20 degrees Fahrenheit.
If the kids are not freezing,
they
it's
all have, like, you know, like super insulated, specially made for the cold snow boots. Snow pants, down jackets, hats, like, and hoods. Like, they're decked out for it. Whereas you guys, you might have a coat, you might have some gloves. But if you're tiny, that's not going to help you that much because you're tiny. And tiny kids lose heat faster.
That's funny.
What's the next one here? Oh, now we're into the social and lifestyle
section. Okay, that sounds good.
True or false, you RSVP in a timely fashion?
If I RSVP in a timely fashion? I do, but I don't think it's very common, though. Yeah, I do. I think more because of the influence that American culture has in my life. But no, I don't think that. Actually, it's a problem that I hope my friends are not listening, but it's a problem that I have with some of my friends. They won't RSVP, and then maybe a couple of hours before the party or dinner party, they'll send me a message saying either I'm coming or I'm not coming. I think that it's because Brazilians are, in general, afraid of confrontations. So they don't want to tell me, oh, I'm not coming to your party, because they might be worried that I'm going to say to ask them, Monica, why aren't you coming? You should come. But yeah. I'm not going to insist, buddy. If you don't want to come, you don't want to come, but I need to know. So what I do is I tell them, and my friends, they know me, so they don't do that anymore. But I say, Monica, if you want to come, I'll be more than happy to welcome you. But please, if you're not coming, let me know, because I need to know how much food I'm going to get.
Yeah. Yeah, because you like cooking.
I
do. So you always have not some elaborate plan, because sometimes it's not elaborate, but you have thrown really cool dinner parties in the past with, like, themes. So, like, and then you like to do multiple courses. So, yes. Like, for you, it's crucial to know how many people are coming.
I just plan
it all out.
I feel the need to share this, but I've always, not always, but for the last maybe 5, 6, 7 years, I followed a minimalistic lifestyle. I like minimalism, so I don't own a lot of things. If you come to my house, you won't see a lot of pictures hanging and that kind of thing. But so my kitchen, even though I love to cook, I don't have a lot of objects, and my stove is tiny. It's it has 4 burners and an oven. And when your husband came, I was explaining to him that I had made a 7-course meal, I think, some weeks before, and he asked me, really baffled and surprised, he was like, on that tiny stove? And I said, on that tiny stove. I never forgot that.
It's funny.
Anyway, continuing.
Okay, true or false? You spend time with your parents or in-laws at least once a week.
My in-laws, once a week?
Either your parents or your in-laws or both.
My parents, yeah. My in-laws live very far away, so I don't spend time with them. But let me see. With my mom, my father doesn't live in Juiz de Fora, so I don't see him very often. But my mom, sure. At least once a week.
Yeah, she's awesome. Let's see. You don't dance because you think you can't dance.
Oh, I definitely can't dance. So
does it keep you from dancing?
It does.
Oh, okay.
I think that for you to dance, you need to be a super dancer like that Brazilian guy we met while I was living in the United States. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we should say people's names in here, so.
We don't have to say his name.
Yeah.
But everyone should just know, in terms of if there was a contest for best prom date ever, I won it because my prom date was a high school age, appropriately aged.
Of course.
Professional dancer.
With funky hair. It was good looking.
That was a good prom.
Anyway, so no, I don't dance because I don't want to embarrass myself.
Yeah, it's just funny because I remember us being at dances and stuff, and it's not that you wouldn't dance, but maybe at home it's different.
Yeah, I don't know. When I was younger, I think I was less inhibited, mm-hmm. so I would dance more often. But nowadays, I'm more self-conscious. If I go to a party, if I go to a wedding party or something, if I go to a wedding, I will probably dance a little bit, but not a lot. Just like moving my body. That's it. Anyway.
Okay. True or false? You think it's normal to pay for a 40 real purchase in 4 installments?
Not for me personally, but yeah, I know a lot of people who would do that. Because the thing is, Brazil has a culture of installments.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very common for you to go to a store and ask to, as we say, divide the price. Or mm-hmm. basically you pay today. Right before the recording, I was checking because I graduated from college 3 years ago. And mm-hmm. then they took official pictures and they offered the pictures to me for a very high price. At the time I said no, and they contacted me again this year. And I asked for the price. I thought it was very high. And they said, no, but you can pay it in 12 installments. And then I said, no, thank you. I'm not going to do it. Because it is part of our culture to pay things in installments. It's a long...
No, that makes sense. I was just making a face because I couldn't picture a photograph that was going to be so expensive. You'd have to split it over a year. you don't know who... Faustão, Xuxa, Luciano,
Xuxa,
Luciano Huck, Silvio Santos, or Ana Maria Braga are?
You're kidding me. I think they would take my passport away if I didn't know. Those are television celebrities. They are television hosts. It's like telling you that you don't know who... Oh, God. Regis, right?
Regis Feldman.
Exactly. Like saying, oh, you don't know. Okay. Better. Even better. It's like telling you, do you know who Oprah is? Do you know who Ellen DeGeneres
really?
Is? Yeah.
So they're like talk show hosts?
Not just talk show hosts, but entertainment
like
show.
Some news anchors, some singers or whatever. Yeah.
Some, yeah. But usually TV hosts anyway. So yeah, they're super famous. It's crazy. It's virtually impossible to find a person who doesn't know them who lives in Brazil. Because I know that this questionnaire you're using is aimed at immigrants, I imagine. Yeah. Brazilians who are living abroad. So but still, Silvio Santos is like the most famous of Brazil. So
yeah, it's crazy. That's funny. Yeah. Okay. You do your own laundry, dishes, and cleaning.
I do my own laundry, dishes, and cleaning. Laundry, yes. Dishes, yes. Cleaning, no. I prefer to pay someone. Because
so you would have like pay for a maid or something.
Exactly. Because in Brazil, well, especially in the past, it wasn't very expensive to have a maid. Mm-hmm. So we would just hire someone. But nowadays it's becoming more and more expensive. And I just pay someone to come to my house once a week or sometimes bi-monthly to clean the house, because like mm-hmm. wash the bathrooms and you know, clean the bathrooms, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I keep it organized, but I don't have neither I nor my husband, we don't have the patience to actually mop the floor and sweep the floor, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't have the patience for deep cleaning. So
exactly.
My house is generally a mess until we have company over, and then magically it's clean.
My house, my rules.
You have a favorite soccer team?
Do I?
No, I'm making a face at you because I know you don't.
When I was growing up, things were different. Uh-huh. If you were a man and you told your school friends that you didn't like soccer, or you didn't play soccer, you didn't watch soccer, they would instantly call you gay and shove you in a locker or something.
Oh my God.
But we're talking about the early 90s. Mm-hmm. So it was very uncommon for men to like soccer and to watch telenovelas. But nowadays it's very common for you to hear straight men saying that they don't like soccer, that they watch telenovelas. So mm-hmm. things have changed, thank God. So going back to your question, I do not have a favorite soccer team, even though I grew up with my whole family enjoying and supporting Flamengo, which is one of the biggest teams in Brazil. And so, yeah, if I have to say it, if I think it's too much to explain to a person, to an acquaintance that I don't like soccer, I just say, oh, yeah, Flamengo, sure.
It sounds kind of like the way I like the Patriots is sure. When I go home to visit my family, I will watch a football game with my dad. I don't know what's happening because I don't know any of the players anymore.
No, I completely agree and understand. When I was, when I lived in the United States, I found it very difficult to understand football, which for us is American football. Uh-huh. But it was difficult to understand American football. But baseball is just, woof, I really can't understand it. I've tried, I've watched some YouTube videos about it with the basics, but I think that maybe I don't want to understand it, but because I just think it's so complicated.
Well, also like baseball games are like 95% standing around waiting for something to happen. Like the action is so infrequent that it's like, why do we watch this?
Why bother? But I'm not criticizing, because I know that it's a very popular sport in the United States and the Caribbean. It's not so popular in South America. I know that in Venezuela it is. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's popular in the other countries. But so we respect baseball. It's mm-hmm. just not our personal preference. I don't want to be canceled by the internet. So that's why I'm correcting myself.
Yeah. I always want the Patriots, the Red Sox, the Celtics, and the Bruins to win. But that's mostly for New England pride. It's not because I actually care about the sports. I think of the sports, I like watching hockey the best. But that's mostly just a me staring at the screen going like, how are they not falling over? They're like skating like 20 miles an hour, jumping over each other, slamming into the walls. Hockey's amazing to me for that reason, is the skating. I'm just watching it like, whoa.
Oh, God.
So I do like Bruins games. The other ones, not so much.
And but what is your favorite sport? Do you have any?
To play or to watch?
Either. Both. Hmm.
I think soccer is fun, which for if there are any Brazilians listening, that would be football.
Oh, okay.
And don't know, a pickup game of American football can be fun as long as everyone agrees we're not going to tackle each other to the ground.
Yeah.
I like going to batting cages because I'm actually really good at hitting.
You are. Oh,
good. You know what? My sport would be kickboxing.
Kickboxing, that's cool. Oh, you used to practice.
Because I used to kickbox before this whole pandemic thing happened.
Yeah, now I remember you saying, no, I can't. I'll send you a message after my kickboxing session.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. That's nice.
It was really good exercise. It was just, you know, someone got elected and ruined everything.
Hopefully not for long. But anyway.
Get out! So,
of course.
Next question?
Next question, sure. No, but before, just talking about sports a little bit more. Uh-huh. Volleyball. Volleyball is a sport that I love. I'm not very good at it, but I love to watch it. The Brazilian national male team is very good.
I always love on the Olympics when they have volleyball just because it's so fun to watch.
It is. Yeah. And Brazil is usually very good at volleyball in the Olympics and the important the World Cup of volleyball. I like it. But anyway.
I have a guess why.
Sure, that's probably why. Yeah.
Definitely. So many beaches. Alrighty, let's see. So, as we know, this quiz seems to have been geared toward people living in the U.S. of Brazilian heritage, and you're living in Brazil of Brazilian heritage and have spent some time in the U.S. So this is kind of a weird fit for you technically, but the title was How Brazilian Are You? And I did want to find out how Brazilian you are.
Of course. No.
So I think that you scored 10 points, which is the lowest possible on the scale.
Uh-huh.
Which means you are totally all caps not Brazilian.
That's hilarious. I hope it's nothing official, but sure. Yeah, I don't want them to revoke.
I don't think they're going to take your citizenship.
Yeah, exactly. Don't revoke my citizenship.
Well, this was fun because it gave us a lot of ways to start conversations about Brazilian culture. Uh-huh. So maybe I'll look for a few more of these as we go along.
Of course.
And see how we go.
Before we wrap this up, there was I was talking to a student before this podcast, and I used an expression that really speaks a lot about our culture. The expression is, you have to eat a lot of rice and beans to get where I am. Because in Portuguese, the basis of our eating is rice and beans. Mm-hmm. If you want to have lunch, you're going to eat rice and beans and something. But obviously, you're going to have rice and beans. Again, I'm not saying that of all the 210 million Brazilians, all of them eat that. But I would say the majority of us, we eat that. So when there is this expression in English, when you say, oh, I'm a meat and potato person, you're very basic, right?
Yeah.
Here we say, oh, I'm just going to do the rice and beans. I'm just going to do the basic.
Yeah.
And when you say that someone is still learning, they have to learn. Is it learn the ropes? It is, right? You have to learn the ropes.
The phrase learning the ropes?
Yeah. You still have to learn the ropes. And so if you want to say that to someone, you just say, oh, you have a lot of rice and beans to eat before you can face me.
Yeah. Really? That's the phrase?
That is the phrase. It's like, você tem que comer muito feijão com arroz. You have to eat a lot of rice and beans.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And breakfast for us is called café da manhã, the coffee of the morning. Mm-hmm. The snack in the middle of the afternoon or towards the end of the afternoon, we call it the café da tarde, the coffee of the afternoon. But sometimes in the evening, we have the café da noite, coffee of the evening, coffee of the night. But usually coffee of the evening.
Interesting. Yeah, I remember really enjoying breakfast whenever we would go visit you guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah, bread and cheese, fruit, coffee, pastry.
My cakes.
And Luis's case, full cakes. I was like, hey, man, somebody made me cake for breakfast. I'm super excited.
I love baking, that's why.
Yeah, oh, it's so good.
Okay.
All righty. Well, we are wrapping this one up. Everybody, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And
talk to you soon.
Ready? Falasario!
See you guys. Have a great week.